Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today, we have three rounds of the magazine. Round number one, Secretary Austin is in some hot water, and it's because he has a shitty heart. So he had to go to the doctor and didn't do the right thing. He probably should have notified his chain of command. That's all I'll say before we get into the round. Round number two, I came across an article that was on Today I Learned on Reddit. President Lincoln was involved in a duel because he wrote a letter in a newspaper with the pen name of a woman, and he was coming at one of his opponents for some of the things that they were doing that he didn't agree with. So we're going to talk about that story because I had never, ever heard of it. And it's pretty damn awesome. And the story comes from the actual Lincoln Library. So you know it has to be true. Like, they're not going to put a bunch of bullshit in there. And finally, round number three, the CIA in World War II, Korea, they put together a dastardly plan that may be one of the best psyops that I've ever seen. I can't wait to talk about that. And there's a whole lot more. We have me. I'm Uncle Chaps. We have Connor. We have Kate. And we have Buckshot. He's here as well today, too. Katie's doing the mama thing. And let me say, Kate being on the podcast still with a baby, it reminds me of all those ladies that had the babies in on active duty, had to come back at that time. I think it was 6 weeks. 6 weeks later, they had to go back to work. Yep. And then I think it was 12 weeks later, they had to start doing organized PT again on like the light duty shit. Crazy, man.
Like within regs and their uniforms and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's absurd.
Horrible.
It's absurd, man.
Like, retention problems.
Like, yeah. And like, if you see Kate, I think that's one of the best things about Kate being back on the pod. You see what parents are doing. Cons too. You see what parents have to do. And balancing on a podcast is difficult. I can't imagine your entire real career that doesn't last longer than an hour a week or an hour and a half a week having to do that. I'm excited about the show today. Lots of good topics. So I want to start off in round number one. We're going to talk about Secretary Austin. Now, before we get into that story, Cons, you were in a position of leadership. What if one of your soldiers woke up, they had, let's say, something going on with their heart, or not even that. Let's say they had the flu. What is your response to that soldier? Or what should he do for you or she?
Well, first things first, you got to let somebody know. You got to call up your platoon sergeant, and probably you're not calling your platoon sergeant directly. You probably could just call your team leader or your squad leader and let them know, like, hey, I'm dealing with something serious and I need to go to sick call. And
let's not do super junior. Let's do your first sergeant and like your company commander, your first sergeant, your platoon leader, the young lieutenant. What do you do in that position if you're a captain?
You still just follow your chain of command and go up and call your, you know, if you're working in the S3 shop, call up the major, call up the S3, or, you know, call up your battalion commander. You got to let somebody know. You don't just kind of do your own thing and assume people will find out.
I have two examples here. At first I was thinking it was the holidays. He didn't want to bug anybody. It's the holidays. But two different occasions on weekends, I bugged two higher ups that I was terrified of. One, when I did that that can opener into the Fort Leonard Wood swimming pool and cracked my eardrum trying to impress those dudes. And then second, I did the all-you-can-eat ribs.
You do some weird shit trying to impress dudes. Eating Christmas lights, doing jackknives. I think those are two of the top things that would not impress dudes.
But I had to call my sergeant at MOS school on a weekend, and he had a smoking hot girlfriend everyone was aware of. So I had to bug him, and he had to take me to the doctor's because I didn't have a car. I didn't know how to get over there. I didn't know the system yet. So I had to be like, excuse me, Sergeant Clarkin. I think I broke. I was jumping into the pool. And he was like, what the fuck? And he came and got me, and he was like, hey. And he was like a scary guy. He was like, I'm glad you told me. Here we are. It is what it is. Second time. Had a few too many beers while I was trying to do the all-you-can-eat riblets at Applebee's, Camp Pendleton. Outside Camp Pendleton, I had to call, shout out Sergeant Hickson, his brand new truck picked me up, and I was getting sick, and I had the poops. And
I had
food poisoning, and I was on a weekend too. And guess what? Both times, I could have swept it under the rug. I could have dealt with the whatever. I let my
You didn't have to tell your leadership that you had diarrhea.
Nope, but I did. And I got in their new truck. So I'm just saying, even dumb me was like, I better make them aware in case something's worse than what I think it is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, in the Department of Defense, too, unless you're the commander-in-chief.
Same situation as me.
Yeah, it's the same. You can, but, I mean, you're joking, but it really is.
Principles,
I mean,
exactly
wrong with you, and you let your chain of command know, unless you are the president, there's always somebody above you. So just who's ever that first person above you, tell them. It's pretty simple.
And even the president is required to tell somebody. Like if he's going in for surgery or she eventually is going in for surgery, they got to tell whoever's like next. Like you got to tell the vice president if you're going to be. I mean, we've all watched West Wing, right, Cons? When President Bartlett got shot and he was going to go temporarily under anesthesia for even like 45 minutes, everybody in the cabinet was pissed because he didn't let the vice president know that he was going to be incapacitated. So even though it was a 45-minute period, you always have to let somebody know, because those positions are pretty fucking important. Like being the president or the secretary of defense is pretty important. And we have another example in the higher echelon of the top six people that work at the Department of Defense, the Commandant of the Marine Corps.
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3chi.com. That's 3chi.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
The Commandant of the Marine Corps recently had a bunch of heart issues. He's currently in the hospital after he had open heart surgery. But you know what he did? One of the first things he did is notify the assistant commandant or the vice commandant of the Marine Corps. He notified Secretary Austin. He notified the undersecretary of the Navy, the Secretary of the Navy, and the President of the United States, as well as the media through a spokesman. So they know how to do it over there in the Pentagon because they just did it. It's the same exact crew. Not doing it for Secretary Austin is legitimately crazy. Well, Go ahead, Kate.
Yeah, let's get into the timeline for it, and maybe you'll see how crazy it all really is. So Friday, December 22nd. We're hanging the holly. We're getting ready for the holidays. Everybody's in good spirits.
Last day here at Barstool, too.
And Secretary of Defense Austin says, this is a perfect time. We're about to go into break here. Perfect time to get a little elective surgery. So he goes to Walter Reed National Medical Center. He gets an elective medical procedure. I think it was calf implants.
Oh.
I think he was doing leg day every day, wasn't making progress, and the other higher-ups were clowning him in the gym, calling him chicken legs or whatever. He was getting calf implants is my theory. The Pentagon doesn't inform the White House or the Deputy Defense Secretary, Kathleen Hicks, but certain operational authorities are transferred to her. So she doesn't even know it. But while he's getting the surgery, she has maybe her nose tingled or something, and she's like, ooh, there's a chill in the air. That was her getting some extra authority, but she was not aware of it. Okay. You can now bomb Baghdad if you wanted to, but she didn't know it really. Okay. So Saturday, December 23rd, Austin returns home from the procedure. And these days you can get like some major surgeries and go home that day. So if he was kept overnight, this must have been kind of a big deal thing, whatever this was. Monday, January 1st, Secretary of State Antony Blinken's talking to Austin. Austin joins a virtual White House meeting about the situation in the Middle East. Everybody's like, oh, he's fine. Nobody suspects a thing, okay? That evening, Austin experiences severe pain due to complications from the earlier procedure and is taken by ambulance back to Walter Reed.
That should be a notification. The rest of this stuff I don't really give a shit about. Maybe letting people know that he had elective surgery. You get taken in an ambulance and you're going to Walter Reed. Also, how the fuck did nobody else know when he's at, I guess, HIPAA maybe, that he was at Walter Reed? But we knew maybe the moment that Trump went there, right?
Like too, Trump went there. Picture the neighborhood that Austin lives in. Everybody knows his house, and everybody around there is in high positions, and everybody saw that ambulance. They're getting ready for Christmas. Their family's like, ooh, scuttlebutt, scuttlebutt, but they're not seeing it in the news. They're not seeing it anywhere. Interesting. But you know,
there's an old dude named Bruce that used to live in my old neighborhood. That motherfucker would be on an ambulance like once every 3 weeks. But every time he was going in, old Bruce, I would be a looky-loo out the window, making sure I knew what was going on. And then I was telling Rick down the street, Bruce is messed up again. I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah, everybody knows everything. So anyway, on January 2nd, Austin's top staffers and press officials, including DOD's spokesperson and press chief, learned that he's in the hospital. So we're talking a whole 24 hours go by. Mm-hmm. And very, very, very key people didn't know he had been rushed by ambulance back to the hospital. General CQ Brown, the Joint Chief's chair, has also informed Hicks she's vacationing down in Puerto Rico. And she's informed that she'll be assuming some of Austin's duties, but does not know he's in the hospital.
She you imagine in- you're Hicks, you're like four margaritas deep in Puerto Rico, and you yes. find out this news that, oh, all of a sudden, I got to assume this command.
She actually sent an email back to the DOD Joint Chief saying, well, how many pina coladas can I have here? Like, how important is this? Can I get slammed or should I just have a couple? She assured them, too. She's not some pussy lightweight as well. She said, don't worry. I'm not like a pussy.
Give me one margarita. I'm a.
Right. Right.
And she had four.
Baghdad,
we know what four is. Put it in my bum.
Right. Staff for Austin and Hicks are informed of the transfer through basic old email. So, again, it doesn't seem like that urgent. It's like, well, they didn't call me. It was an email came through. I guess whatever. It's fine.
I absolutely. That's a great point, Kate. I would not think it's urgent. If you don't mention the news that he's in the hospital and was taken there by ambulance, I'm thinking he's just goofing. I'm thinking that he's taking some leave, that he had his NCO come in and check out his insurance. His tires were inflated and his windshield wipers worked.
If you're like me, too, if she's anything like me, a couple pina coladas, I'm not checking my email for a month. And that's during busy season. That's
when have you ever checked your email, Kate?
I never will. Never will. Thursday, January 4th. It's not until now that Hicks and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan are made aware he's in the hospital. It wasn't until January 4th. And Sullivan briefs Joe Biden right after. That afternoon, Hicks begins drafting a public statement that probably starts off with, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. Hicks begins planning to return to Washington, but
the military, they end up conducting a retaliatory strike in Baghdad, which also leads to Baghdad's prime minister being like, you guys need to get out. Like, it's the first time that Iraq has been like, we've had enough. You need to get up out of here. We bombed them in response and got one of their high level leaders of, I think it was Hamas that was there. And then on January 5th in the afternoon, the secretaries of the military departments and principal staff assistants are made aware of Austin hospitalization, which is crazy, man. 4 days after a full ass work week, he's there.
Yeah.
I mean, nuts. So shortly before 5 p.m.
My calf implants theory.
Yeah, true. That's the calf implants. The Pentagon notified Congress about Austin's hospitalization, which they should have done instantly. And there is a lot of congressmen who are going nuts about it and they want heads to roll. And I think in this position, hell, I wrote a blog about it yesterday that I think that he should resign. There's no chance anybody else in that position. Cons, imagine what would happen if you got taken by ambulance and you were sick from a surgery. Other people, a platoon leader, had to take your spot as the company commander, and the battalion commander finds out that there was a five-day period that they didn't know.
He would be so hot.
You might get a letter in your book that says, do not promote, like unpromotable.
Yeah. And that's what's so crazy to me about this. Austin comes from a world, the Army, where these checks, these methods of due diligence, they're in place. He did them his entire career. He knows what right is. So I'm just so perplexed. There's got to be more to this story as to why he didn't inform everybody of his whereabouts. Because I don't believe that he just, you know, let it slip his mind when he spent the better part of his life informing people of his every move.
And remember, the day before is when Jake Sullivan and all the different press secretaries, they all found out. Now, listen, I feel like this part is dastardly, and I feel like it was on purpose for the purpose of misleading and not letting most people see. It's one of the most common tropes in media. There's a Friday news dump that comes out at D.C. This statement was released at 5:03 p.m., a public statement is released disclosing that Austin had been admitted to Walter Reed. And you know why nobody pays attention to Friday News Dump? Even the president didn't find out until that Saturday after. I don't know how he missed it, but after is when he found out. Like that.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
That is absolutely crazy. And then people...
That's also crazy because, sorry, I actually never really gave thought to it. But now that we're talking through it, I feel like being the president's, there's no like days of the week, right? It's not like Friday, 5 p.m. You're like, all right, let's go to the bar, happy hour. And you shut it off for the next 2 days until you come back to work on Monday morning. It's one of those things, kind of like when you're deployed, where you're just kind of always working. So the fact that he went the entire weekend and wasn't briefed on what was going on, that makes me scratch my head too.
Yeah. Then the Armed Service Committee Chair, Mike Rogers from Alabama, and also the ranking member who's on the other side. So this is a bipartisan measure saying that they need to have more information about Secretary Austin's health condition. So he finally speaks with the Senate Armed Forces Chair, Jack Reed. And then at 4:24, he released a statement updating the fact that Austin remained hospitalized. He was in the hospital for a full ass week, but he had been in contact with Biden. And this is one of the things yesterday that pissed me off about Biden. He said he wishes him well and that he's not even considering or asking him to resign. And if Austin took it on himself to render his resignation, that Biden wouldn't accept it.
I'm telling you, there's something. Biden knows something. There's something else going on here. This is not what we see.
He has Biden dick pics.
It's something embarrassing. It's some. Maybe yeah. he was getting his balls smoothed out.
Mm-hmm. He has more time on Hunter.
Right. Maybe something's amiss. Also, I feel like we're missing the biggest part of this story. Austin, to cover it up, actually had his twin brother Dallas, who looks exactly like him, and. That same week, too, they were trying to get their parents back together. It was a whole...
Yeah, it was a kerfluffle.
Spin switcheroo situation.
Kerfluffle.
Good reference there, Kate. I see what you're putting down there.
Yeah, we're doing cities in Texas, folks. And their other brother, their sister, Houston.
Little Mary, Kate, and Ash.
Oh, I thought you were doing Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan. Not to be confused with the original with Haley Mills.
She was doing both.
Correct.
Oh, were you thinking of It Takes Two, maybe, with the Olsen twins?
Yes, I was. Which everyone who listens to ZBT was a huge It Takes Two.
Everybody knows that one.
One of my first crushes in life was Stephanie Tanner. I was...
Really?
We're the same age. And when she did that dance competition, she was dancing around. I think I was probably 9 or 10. She was probably 10, maybe 12. And I was like,
Motown Philly was the song she danced to.
Exactly right.
What was it?
That's
I always thought she was a little uptight. I was always... No,
it was Motown Philly, Chaps, the song by Boyz II Men.
That's my first CD I ever bought was Motown Philly.
Oh.
I think I actually stole it. I'm not sure. Anyways, round number two.
Can we just say really quickly, we hope that whatever's going on, that Secretary Austin recovers fully and that he is ultimately in good health.
Thank you, Cons. We almost forgot to cover our asses there.
Yeah, exactly.
This episode comes out and something real bad goes down.
I don't feel that way. I'm just kidding. I do. I'll be really messed up. Get better, Secretary Austin. We miss you. We should honestly send him a card. Just send him a card. Be like, hey, we all goof. We all do a little goof. Do you want paperwork or do you want hazing? Which one?
Sorry.
That's what should happen. Sergeant Major, the Sergeant Majors, Sergeant's Major of the Army and the Marine Corps should get to haze Secretary Austin.
He has to carry an ammo can full of sand around for the rest of the year.
He's walking around the Pentagon police calling. He's like, please cigarette pick butts? Up your cigarette butts. That would be crazy. You see Secretary Austin running through the Pentagon and he's refilling the water fountains or checking the blinker fluid.
Yeah, I like that.
Hey there, fucking kitchen gloves, Austin. Come here.
Do you think this is a situation, too, that I think a lot of people found themselves in where you know the right thing to do, and by accident, you forgot to do it right away, but then you've already missed that window. So you just kind of keep ignoring it. But in turn, you are digging yourself a deeper hole to where
every
you get
single
to where...
task that my wife wants me to do. Everyone.
That's me with my text messages.
Yeah. Drew. Yeah. Where are we at right now? Kate? Give us a text message update.
I think I'm at 742.
That would drive me nuts so but so.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. Stuff out there from people I love the most.
All right, let's do round number two. We're going to talk a little bit about the CIA. Kate, what do we have here?
Okay, in the series Mad Men, the big and crazy time of the advertisers in the 1960s is shown, but it was even crazier in the CIA. The post-war period felt like, if you thought the secretaries had big titties over at the advertising agency, you should have seen them over at the CIA.
That's exactly right, Kate. Huge tits.
I do wish I worked in a time when I could smoke inside at my desk.
Mm-hmm.
God damn. The post-war period felt like pre-war epoch. I should know epic. That word.
Yep.
Ah, epic. And confrontation with the USSR seemed inevitable. In addition to the well-known nuclear armament, there were countless attempts by the Secret Services to weaken the enemy. When the wind was favorable, the U.S. sent leaflets out in large balloons to enlighten the population in the East or to antagonize the governments there. Here we were so mad at China about their balloons. We've been balloon goofing too.
Yeah.
Okay. We've dipped
nothing new under the sun, including balloons.
Amen. In the early 1950s, director Frank Wisner is said to have hatched a completely ludicrous plan. At the time, he was in charge of a covert psychological warfare unit. They dealt with that had to be tough to date these guys.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Talk about
absolutely gaslighted the shit out of you.
They dealt with manipulating news abroad and also tried to set up a kind of guerrilla army behind the Iron Curtain, which should come to the aid of allies at crucial moments with uprisings behind the front. In addition, he came up with the idea of smuggling particularly large condoms into the USSR or having them dropped in. The XXL elastics should be particularly large, but bear the inscription medium.
Mm-hmm.
So all these average guys...
Some of them even had small on them,
and so,
small or medium.
The trick was intended to convince Soviet women and Red Army soldiers that U.S. soldiers were particularly masculine. Wisner hoped this would demoralize the enemy. So you put on, you know, this condom says small or medium, and you put it on, and it's fallen off of you.
It's like you put a trash bag over your dick.
Yeah, that is a little bit demoralizing.
I mean, if that happens, and these are... Think about it. Back in that time period, there was a ton of soldiers on every single front that were 15, 16, 17. If you're 15 or 16 and you try to strap on a condom because you're going into some enemy forces and then you head onto a bar like we saw so many times and like Band of Brothers and other shows, and you go in to pull on that smaller medium and it's huge, I would be crushed. I might go home. That might be worse than almost anything that could happen to you in war.
Yeah, so unfortunately, the plan was never implemented. But ladies, I would like to go back in time and do this to people. I'd really. Anyway, it remains unclear whether it was just a crazy idea of the bon vivant Wisner or whether it was a serious concept. Like, were they really, really considering this, or was it a funny joke that they passed around?
What do you think that briefing was like when he's like, guys, no, listen, I got a great idea. All right, this is how we take down the Red Army. And then he proceeds to talk about this idea. I would think you'd get laughed out of the room. Like, I get where he's coming from, but in practice, is it really that practical?
I think so. I mean, think about all the different crazy, maybe we should do a show on that. The crazy psyops that happened in World War II and the Korean War. There's so much stuff that you would never even consider and you would get laughed out of the room. Like the dummies from Vietnam.
Yeah.
Like you would, if I was like, hey man, we would probably believe it. Like, we're going to bring in a bunch of dumbs and have them do different jobs. Actually, I would believe that.
Other one we saw in World War II with the Ghost Army, where they had inflatable tanks and everything, and that obviously served a big purpose for D-Day.
Yeah.
So, I, you know.
Fun other common fact in here, though. I didn't know this. World War II, in bad weather, in the mud during landing operations, soldiers would put condoms on the barrels of their guns.
Yep, Vietnam too.
Yeah, the British soldiers' condoms were enlarged beyond what was appropriate because they were stretching them over the barrel. So, that's pretty interesting.
You said that your own soldiers must have been frustrated. They wanted to use them for their actual purpose of fucking. Overall, I love that move. I think that anytime you can make your enemy feel like that they have small dicks, you have to do it. Because even if you're going to like a hasty fire position, you're going to go in and you're going to ambush somebody. If you have to maintain your thought process on what's going on in the battlefield, but deep down inside, you know, you're like that Bass Pro Shop guy that has the little button dick, you're upset.
By the way, anyone out there listening, if you, especially if you're overseas right now and you missed it, please Google, not on a government computer, Bass Pro Shops Pond Guy.
It's wonderful. It's one of those videos that we can all really embrace. It's what we need in this troublesome bipartisan time, for sure. All right, let's move on to round number three, which is going to be brought to you by our friends at Simply Safe. That's you,
yes,
Ben.
Yes, indeed, it is going to be brought to our friends from Simply Safe. And if you just bought a new house like I did, you should be considering Simply Safe, because now that we've wrapped up 2023 and are ushering into the next year, 2024, it's a perfect time to reflect on what truly matters. And that's the people we love most. This year, make your resolution to keep them safer than ever before with the award-winning Simply Safe system named Best Home Security of 2023 by U.S. News and World Report. I trust Simply Safe in my own home and recommend it to everybody. They sent it. I used it in my apartment, and then we were leaving, and I was like, you know what? Got to bring that to the new house. Mm-hmm. So we got it set up here in the new house, and I got to tell you, it definitely gives you that peace of mind. So I would absolutely do it. Simply Safe is a comprehensive protection for the entire home with advanced sensors that not only detect break-ins, you got to think about other things going on, fires, floods, any other threats to your home.
You just like watching the snowfall at your house.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, geez, I love the snow. Let's say you're freaking, you know, your water heater breaks and you got flooding in your basement. You're going to want to know about that if you're out vacation.
A little too personal cons. I don't like that personal of an example, but okay.
Yeah, sorry, it happens. Anyway, with new 24/7 live guard protection, monitoring agents can actually see, speak to, and confront intruders in your home. Available only from Simply Safe to actually stop crime in real time. I have to imagine if you're a burglar and then the walls just start talking to you, you're going to think to yourself, all right, I got to get the hell out of here. This is not for me. Yeah. No. Yeah. Best part, 24/7 monitoring is highly affordable, costing less than $1 a day, half the price of traditional home security. What's your family cost? And it should cost, you know, less than $1 a day. So Simply Safe prioritizes your privacy, and that's why their indoor security cameras are the only ones on the market with physical privacy shutters to ensure your privacy 24/7. Satisfaction guaranteed. You can try Simply Safe for 60 days risk-free. If you don't love it, just return it for a full refund. So keep your home and family safer than ever in the new year. You can save 20% on your new system with a Fast Protect plan by visiting simplysafe.com/ZBT. Customize your system in just minutes at simplysafe.com/ZBT. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
All right, let's go into today's badass of the week, which it's President Lincoln. Okay, what do we have here?
One of the most surprising stories of Abraham Lincoln's life is the time that his razor-sharp wit almost got him tangled up in a duel. It's a story captured in letters and newspaper items collected by the papers of Abraham Lincoln. And like you said, this is legit because it's in the Lincoln Library, mm-hmm. right? So in 1842, the state of Illinois ran out of money and decided it would no longer accept its own printed money as a form of currency. So basically they're like, well, we can't keep printing out this meaningless whatever. This wouldn't be good. Citizens would only be able to pay taxes with silver and gold, which most did not have. The decision was obviously very unpopular, as it made the state's paper money virtually worthless. Man, we think now in these times that, like, we've got, like, shit's falling apart. At least it's not, you know, I don't have any
silver. I didn't know that states had their own individual currencies.
I didn't either.
I just learned that now. I didn't know that.
James Shields, the state auditor, sided with the Democratic Party on rejecting currency and shutting down the State Bank of Illinois. That made him a target for attacks by members of the Illinois Whig Party. Lincoln, then a 33-year-old Whig and a state legislator, strongly opposed the Democratic financial plan and wrote attacks against Shields. This was before there was Twitter. This was the side eye that you could give, the subtweet.
The original Reddit.
Lincoln was friends with Simeon Francis, the editor of the Sangamo Journal, and was allowed to publish a letter in 1842 under the false name Rebecca. Abraham
Lincoln, the original troll.
Minx, Rebecca the troll.
I actually think that that's a great name choice because Rebecca, I think Rebecca is a beautiful name. It just is.
It's written in, from the perspective of an Illinois farm wife whose neighbor cannot pay his taxes due to the rejection of state currency. Lincoln, writing as Rebecca the farm wife, calls Shields a fool and a liar.
Strong words in the 1800s.
He then mocks Shields as a womanizer, stating, "His very features and the ecstatic agony of his soul spoke audibly and distinctly. Dear girls, it is distressing, but I cannot marry you all. Too well I know how much you suffer, but do remember it is not my fault that I am so handsome and so interesting." So, really going to town there. Shields asked the editor of the paper for the author's true identity, and Lincoln, not a good friend that you have there, Lincoln. They said it was Lincoln.
Absolute rat.
Yeah, they ratted him out. Shields followed Lincoln, then out riding the legal circuit to Tremont in Tazewell County, longtime stoolies of Tremont and Tazewell County. Shortly after arriving, Shields had an angry letter delivered to Lincoln demanding an apology and a retraction of the statements. Otherwise, he said, "We're gonna duel, bitch. Okay? We're gonna fucking duel." All right? Lincoln
responded. That's exactly what he said.
Yeah. Later that day, Lincoln responded, refusing to retract the statements. Lincoln's letter also ended with a veiled threat. "The consequence to which I suppose you allude would be a matter of as great regret to me as it possibly to you." Ooh. And so Lincoln was like, "All right, bet. Bet. I'll serve cunt all over this duel," is essentially what he said. After more angry statements and letters from both parties, she adds things then on Twitter today. You can go back and forth and call someone a dickhead in 2 seconds. Back then, it took months.
Yep.
Okay. More angry statements and letters from both parties. Shields challenged Lincoln to a duel. Lincoln finally was like, "Oh, okay, let's have some peace here. I'm not going to deal with gun stuff until a few years from now." Yeah. Lincoln said he would admit to being the author of the original newspaper letter and would apologize if Shields would have retract his earlier letters and rewrite them in a more polite manner. If this request was not met, he was going to fight.
Hell yeah, he was.
As the person being challenged, Lincoln, I didn't know this, as the person being challenged, Lincoln got to set the rules.
They did the same thing in Game of Thrones with Tyrion and Joffrey. Tyrion and that bitch that had the moon door.
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I would say if I got to set my, we have to wear silly outfits or something, you know. As the person being challenged, he sets the rules. There was to be a line between two of them, and crossing over this line would result in death.
Kind of like what happened in Barstool, Surviving Barstool, when Rico went over.
Yep. The duel was to be fought in Missouri, as dueling was still legal there, and the weapons would be broadswords. God damn, I wish I could go back in time and watch it.
No, right.
Fuck.
Remember how much people wanted to see Zuckerberg and Elon Musk
wrestle?
You want to see Lincoln go at it, for sure.
Oh, man. You come out of your time machine disoriented. You don't know where you are. You're like, "Holy shit, is that Lincoln with a broadsword?" I know, right? Whoa. Lincoln and Shields met for their duel on Bloody Island, sandbar in the Mississippi River right outside of Alton.
Barstool Sports and Foreplay have partnered up with Skillz, the leading sports skill training brand, to develop co-branded golf training aids that will help you improve your game. The Skillz Barstool Golf line was designed to help sharpen every aspect of your game from tee to green. The products help you develop your swing, whether it's gaining distance, improving accuracy, chipping around the greens, or dialing in your putting. All products are made by golfers for golfers. They were developed by industry experts who understand the game. Skillz Barstool Golf products are now available at golfgalaxy.com/barstool or in store at Golf Galaxy and select Dick's Sporting Goods House of Sport locations.
To demonstrate,
oh my God, I didn't read the first time that it was on a sandbar. So you're standing out there in the Mississippi River in the middle of it, and you're having a duel on Bloody Island with swords? Come on, Abe.
I'm going to say something. Earmuffs, cons, and chaps.
Okay.
This next part got me a little wet.
Okay. 23-year-old Kate seeing Abraham Lincoln on Bloody Island standing on a sandbar ready to swing a sword.
This part right here. To demonstrate his advantage in height and reach, Lincoln swung his sword over his head and chopped down a tree branch.
Yeah, there you go.
If that's not a guy being a dude,
Tell me how viral that would have been on TikTok if that's recorded.
You see that viral video of the kid fighting the tree?
Yeah.
This was even better than that. This was enough to convince Shields. Shields saw Lincoln do that, and he was like, oh.
Whoa.
Lincoln did have reach. Lincoln had reach.
He had reach, yeah.
He was 6'3". Definitely did.
And he called a truce. He saw Lincoln do this, and he was like, you're right. Fuck, shit, I'm done.
And 6'3", at that time, probably looked like Wimby for the Spurs. Like, you just looked like an absolute alien because they're all like 5'5".
Yeah, pretty embarrassing. Years later, Shields served as a brigadier general for the Union during the Civil War, and Lincoln promoted him to major general after Shields was wounded at the Battle of Kernstown, where his forces defeated Confederacy's Stonewall Jackson. Unfortunately for Shields, a Democrat, his promotion was blocked by the Republican-controlled Senate. However, this nomination
probably Tommy Tuberville
that Lincoln and Shields were now buddies, and it was all okay.
Isn't that a crazy story? How is that not more well known?
Yeah.
You're right. How is it that I'm only now hearing about the time Lincoln almost got into a duel?
That's, you have that all those stories about like Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders and how hardcore he was before presidency. You're challenging somebody to a duel, but not just a duel, but with a sword on Bloody Island, and you're chopping down trees with one single swing. That's up there with boxing. I mean, Teddy's known for that, for boxing and riding on a horse.
I'm listening to an audiobook right now about Teddy Roosevelt called River of Doubt. Remember, he ran for a third term and split. He split his party in half by creating a new party, the Bull Moose Party. And so he could run for a third time. And I think he was the Republican Party. He was like, what the F are you doing? You're splitting our vote now and whatever. And some loser, I forget, some lame president ended up winning. I forget. I'm paying attention to this book.
I'm not good with presidents.
Anyway, long story short, he loses this third run for president, and he like couldn't believe it because he thought he was so popular. Like 100,000 people came to see him at Madison Square Garden before the election. Wow. Like he was crazy, crazy popular. And he was so devastated by this that he, a former president, two-time former president, was like, I'm going to go explore the Amazon, this unexplored, nobody's ever been down it, tributary of the Amazon River.
Well, you lose the presidency, you go through it. I mean, do you remember what happened to Mitt Romney when he looked like an absolute disheveled bag of shit when he was standing at that gas station? And then people would see Hillary Clinton walking around the woods, just kind of meandering around after she lost. You lose that, man, you go through it.
She was looking for Bill, I heard.
True, he's probably out there getting some strange.
But anyway, he went deep into the Amazon and like half his party ended up dying. And then he came back. And he was like, I feel better now. Well, what a treat.
Sorry, really quickly, speaking of Bill Clinton, because we had all the news come out about the Epstein list. Do you think Bill Clinton cares at this point if he's on that list? Now, clearly, like if some sort of, what's the word I'm looking for here? Some sort of legal action gets brought against him, he cares. But other than that, do you think he cares?
I mean, think about all the crazy shit that has been said about the Clintons over the past 35 years. I can't imagine there's anything that really gets to you at that point.
No, he's got to be responsible with all the crazy shit he's done.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, trust me, like, you know, him doing whatever with underage girls is horrible. That's terrible. It's against the law. And it's reprehensible. And, you know, I don't think anybody is, you know, going to hold Clinton in high esteem when it comes to morality. But I just don't know. Like, there's a good chance. I mean, does he read the news? Does he care at this point?
Probably, because that's, I mean, the only thing about this one, obviously, besides, like you said, it's disgusting, despicable, all those things that are blatantly obvious to anybody, and if you need a caveat, you're a dummy, like all of those things. This one could legitimately be a legacy ruiner, like across the board. Like, if that, because even if it's not true, people are going to believe it's true. Like, they 1000% believe it's true.
And how can you look at Hillary not divorcing his ass a long time ago? She's a feminist. She's great.
That's a weird marriage all around.
It is. Sometimes I wonder. I'm like, maybe he makes a great frittata or something. I don't know.
No, maybe I mean, nope, not saying that one in this context. Nope, not doing that. Yeah. If you have some things that you're going through, try out our friends at BetterHelp, right, Cons?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're thinking about going into the new year, resolutions, and, you know, one of those resolutions should be to take care of yourself, all right? You know, we always get obsessed with how to change ourselves instead of just maybe expanding on what we're already doing right. I think people take two biggest swings and like, oh, I got to change my whole life. It's like, well, you're probably already doing some good things. Focus on that. So, you know, maybe you finally organize one part of your house and you want to tackle another, or maybe you're taking supplements every morning and now you want to actually eat breakfast too. Listen, therapy is what's going to help you find your strengths so you can ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes that really stick. And for me, when I was, you know, leveraging therapy, and that's exactly what it did for me. It made me, you know, stop thinking the world was falling down around me and that I could focus on the things that were going right. And then when you focus on the good stuff, you know, a lot of other things take care of themselves. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/zero today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/zero.
And I told you guys last week that my BetterHelp person was telling me you need to read more, you need to do all these things. They were right. I read two books this week, and one of them.
Read this book.
What's that?
You texted me excited about a book you were reading.
Yeah. So there's one book. I'll tell you about both of them. There's one called Humans, and or The Humans, and it's by Matt Haig, I think. Legitimately, the most I have ever laughed reading a book. The premise is that there's these aliens that live a long ways away, and it's not like a sci-fi book. There's aliens that live long ways away, and they want to come out and check out the primitive humans and, like, kind of make fun of them for how simple our lives are, that we have, like, houses that just are on the ground and they don't move anywhere, that you can't just teleport, you're not omnipresent, or you don't have omniscience. You don't have any of those things. So he comes and he starts describing humans, and I'll just tell this really quickly. He looks at humans and he says, these things are absolutely disgusting creatures. Every time I see them, I completely want to vomit. They have these things that allow them to hear, but they have external little clobs of skin that stick out. They call them ears and they make me want to puke. And he just goes into like all things that are human. And it is so fucking funny. Like, he'll walk into a steakhouse and he'll be like, this place smells like a pit of death. With dead, what something they call cows and vegetables being cooked on something that they call a fire. It was absolutely delightful. And the second one was a book called Yellowface. I really liked that one too, because I could kind of commiserate with the protagonist in the story where
she has banana induced pink eye too.
Yeah, she has banana induced pink eye. Uh-huh. And she goes into her whole life and how she's a writer and she gets attacked online and people are going crazy. And you see all those different attacks online. And then you eventually, it seeps into your head, whether you want it to or not, that you are bad at what you do because the comments, the tweets, all those different things. And I mean, hell, in this line of work, you've been through that too. And it was just a reminder of, that's just an echo chamber online, and a vast majority, just like politics, 95% of the country are not as vested as people who constantly talk about it on Twitter. So right. Shout out BetterHelp for that recommendation. It was fantastic, and I am getting something out of it. So go check it out. You can get 10% off. It's a great deal. BetterHelp.com. All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Catherine, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I think we covered the Kala, the TikTok tunnel girl, we covered her, right, in a previous episode. She built a huge underground tunnel system in Northern Virginia, like right outside DC, in this super suburban neighborhood. And her neighbors were shocked to find out, like, 22 feet below her basement, she was tunneling.
I didn't realize it was 22 feet. That's two stories.
A mine shaft system going and blah, blah, blah. And, like, seriously compromised the structure of the ground.
You think you get to add that square footage to your property listing?
That's a great question. A good wine cellar would make. Mm-hmm. Well, we got a new tunnel. I just wanted to talk about really
new tunnel alert.
If you've been seeing the videos of this, if you don't know, the Hasidic Jewish community in Brooklyn, especially, but there's Kiryas Joel in upstate New York, but there's certain neighborhoods that are heavily Hasidic Jewish. And basically, like, for the most part, the cops stay out of it. They have their own ambulance system. Like, they're their own political machine. They have that neighborhood is like theirs, and you don't mess with it and you don't go in there. So when the NYPD does go in there for some reason, it's like a big deal. And these videos that are hitting social media right now are wild. Chaotic scenes broke out at the Chabad Lubavitch Headquarters Synagogue in New York City. This was just Monday afternoon, as the New York City Police Department tried to fill in and seal a secret tunnel and alcove that were found in the prayer hall. It was unclear why the tunnel had been dug, but according to reports, it was done in the last couple of years. People were saying maybe it was because during COVID, they banned them from going to temple and from these huge gatherings, and they still wanted to, so they built a big secret tunnel network where from all around the neighborhood, they could go into the synagogue and still worship, but nobody from New York City government would see them going in or out.
They improvised, adapted, and overcame.
Yeah, footage from within the tunnel showed that it led to an abandoned mikveh, which is a ritual bath. The tunnel was also shown to be full of garbage and household art object. They, in the video, stuff that was getting pulled out of it, this mattress that looked like it had like a huge poop stain on it, a child's high chair, like it was like, were people living under this, under the ground here in Brooklyn? Like, what was going on?
But that could also be cherry picking. I mean, if you have a bunch of spots that with a bunch of beds, one of them's going to have poop on it.
That's true. Yes, that is true. But household objects were coming out, and it was the NYPD is inside the synagogue, and the video is like, they're just pulling these dudes out of the tunnel. They just keep popping out. And then there's video from out in the street where there's like a New York City grate, and somebody's walking down the street, and all of a sudden these Hasidic Jewish men start popping out of the grate and running down the street. And the people on the street are just like, what the fuck is happening right now? then they began fighting with the NYPD. They were pulling down wood paneling, throwing prayer benches at police officers. More men who were pulled out of the tunnel by NYPD officers went and sat in an alcove trying to prevent it from being filled in. They're like, we're all going to cram in this tunnel. You're not taking our tunnel. We worked really hard on this fucking thing. I feel the same way when I'm at the beach digging a tunnel. My son has to fill it in. Hey, I worked hard on this. Several rioters got arrested. The synagogue was shut down by NYPD. And the videos are just so insane and absurd. It's like a real, like, New York City, like, New York, a cop kind of guy trying to explain to this guy why they...
You know who should make this movie, Kate? Guy Ritchie. Guy Ritchie would be fantastic at directing this movie. And the entire time you were explaining what it's like, people popping out of nowhere, all I could think about was that Super Nintendo game that was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, when like you're walking down and then all of a sudden the foot soldiers come popping out of the manholes, and they'll come out of different spots, and you're like, where are you guys all coming from? And now you got to fight all of them. Ninja Turtles.
You gotta fight all of them. It's it's crazy. But I just like, go look at some of the tweets on it. People were just hilarious about this, and just really interesting. So sorry, that was a long extra thing, but I'm into tunnels, so another tunnel story.
I love tunnel stories. The lady got her tunnel banned, right? She can't do it anymore.
The local government called her and was like, absolutely not. I don't know what's happening now. I'll have to provide an update next week on what's going on there.
Yeah, I heard it was because she like ruined the foundation and the integrity of the ground, because she, well, spoiler alert, not a structural engineer.
Right.
And I think you need those kind of people if you're going to be doing 22 feet down tunnels in a residential neighborhood.
You got to have some zoning permits, okay? If you need one to put up a fence in your yard, you need one to dig 22 feet below it.
Yeah, she didn't fill out our ORM sheet. So
the ORM.
You got to do that. Cons, what about you, bud?
Yeah, Chaps, remember you'd be playing that game, you'd walk in, there's no one, none of the bad guys around, like, it's a little too quiet, and then all of a sudden they pop out of the middle.
Very warlike.
It was great. Going back to that first story, I tweeted this last night when we were talking about Secretary Austin. In my first civilian job, when I transitioned out of the military, I was legit afraid. I didn't know how to call out sick. And I remember the first time I went to work with a fever, and I just looked disheveled. And my boss said, are you okay? And I said, no, actually, I got a little bit of a fever and I don't feel great. He's like, what are you doing here? Go home. And then you realize people are pretty liberal. If you say like you're sick, that's the end of it, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's no like, hey, send me the doctor's note and prove to me that you're sick. So that was just a lot of people commiserating that when you transition into the civilian life, a lot of those things stay with you. So that's why the Austin story still, I don't know, it doesn't.
Yeah, he spent 40 years in uniform. He should know.
Yeah. I think there's more to it that we'll eventually hear about. It's speaking of books, you guys talking about books you're reading. I'll just mention right now I'm reading, it's called the Billionaire's Vinegar. It's about this bottle of wine that was once owned by Thomas Jefferson that went at auction for $150,000, and the story of like where that wine came from. So if you're into wine and history, it's a good cross section of the both. And then finally, you know, just want to give Dave Portnoy a shout out really quickly. He was at the national championship game last night. We're recording Tuesday, so on Monday night he was at the national championship game for his alma mater, Michigan. Congrats to their win. But he decided through one of our partners to bring some deserving Michigan fans to the game. And two of those deserving fans were Army veterans. And it was awesome to see. One person, his tweet was, you know, talking about Michigan football is what kept me conscious after I got blown up by an IED on the way back.
So he said hey, Dave, because Dave was like, tell me why you should go to the game. And this veteran was like, Dave, I got my leg blown off. And one of the things that kept me alive was my buddy's talking to me about Michigan football while I was waiting for the helicopter out of there. And people in the tweets underneath it were, Dave was like, you're in, a leg for a ticket, you're in. And people were like, wouldn't it be hilarious if this guy showed up with both legs totally fine to the game? And
so then the Dave, ultimate stolen valor, is wearing pants.
So then Dave tweeted from the game holding up the veteran's fake leg and was like, don't worry, he really did lose it, which was hilarious. But it was really cool, Dave.
He's very, very good to veterans across the board, for sure.
Sure.
Barstool as a whole is good.
Yep. Starts at the top. Else? No, that's it.
All right, I don't have much either. Snow is fun. I'm loving the snow. Cardi is absolutely enjoying it. Cardi played outside the other day in snow for 7 hours. 7 hours straight playing in snow.
When you're a kid, man, you don't think about if I'm thirsty, if I'm hungry. You're just out there. You're playing. You're in the mix. It's awesome. Now, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to be out for 7 hours. I got to plan meals and I got to plan my outfit. And it's a whole thing to do. I wish I could be a kid.
When they're a toddler and you have to be out there with them.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't want to come back in. And you're like,
ooh. And then you have a little one that you're taking care of, too, that can't be out there doing that kind of stuff. I know. That being said, Wednesday of next week, the temperature is on deck. I looked at the real feel expectation. The high with real feel, -11 with 30-mile-an-hour winds.
Buckle up. Now you're really going to find out if you like
Chicago.
I'm not
coming to work. I'm just not. I'm not coming to work that day. I'm just going to be hanging out.
Hardo, you got the ski goggles for your electric bike and your big gloves so that you can...
I guess I'm not doing the bike right now. One, because work gets out at like dark at like 3:45, so I don't feel like that safe to do.
Two, you already got hit by a car.
I got hit by a car. and the ice probably wouldn't be ideal. What was I saying? But you only walk from the car inside, so like how far are you really going? Like you don't really have to weather it. And then remote start for your car up here, lifesaver. Mm-hmm. Sitting in the car, getting right into the car, and it's a toasty 75 with your heated seats on. Beautiful. If you can't do that, I highly recommend it. We'll be back next week. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel, please. We'd appreciate that. Leave some comments there too. We need to get that thing up and going, and we appreciate it. If you listen today, you'll see Kate's baby a lot.
You will. He's out like a light now. You know how Jersey Jerry went viral and got 100,000 subscribers by golfing until he got a hole in one? What if we, I don't know, what if we go live and we do like a war in the Middle East till there's peace or something?
Oh, a 20-year live stream. That would be good.
20-year live stream. Think about it. Let us know.
Think about the numbies. Nice.
Well, I guess longer than 2,000 years or 2,000 years is about what it would be. Maybe even longer. Oh, yeah. Abrahamic Wars, too. A long time ago.
Yeah.
We're talking about at least 4,800, depending on which scholar you believe. I believe Josephus, there was probably four, like 2,200.
Yes.
Yeah, we all know Josephus, longtime stool, yes. Brick by brick Josephus. All right, we'll be back next Wednesday. Thanks for listening, everybody. Sound the retreat. That was a good episode.